Once upon a time in Byzantium. Once upon a time, in a land called Byzantium, there lived a young prince named Andronicus. He couldn't remember his mother, as she had died during childbirth, and his father, the king, had then remarried a woman by the same name, Eleni, who was very ambitious and smart. Andronicus was still a youth when his father died all of a sudden, so his stepmother, Eleni, was appointed to reign until the young prince was old enough to take over the throne. She loved Andronicus deeply, for he was a smart and nice boy, and she cared for him and wanted him to become a good emperor, just like his father. But Eleni was very concerned about the woman who would be by his side once he got married, and about how she would get on with her daughter-in-law when they lived together in the palace. All the same, one day Eleni realized that there was no more time to lose. Young Andronicus had already grown into a strong young man and would soon become emperor. So, she decided to marry him to a girl she could handle, a girl who would love her husband, show respect, and not throw her mother-in-law out of the palace. Certainly, the bride-to-be should be very pretty, worthy of the royal title. Eleni spent days mulling over which of the girls in the palace might be right for her son, but in vain. One girl was too tall, another too thin, yet another too bad-tempered. None was to her liking. So she racked her brains until at last she came up with a solution. She decided to organize a beauty contest. Seeing that the most important quality involved in selecting the future empress, or Augusta as she was known, was her beauty, the best thing to do would be to gather together the most beautiful girls in Byzantium and choose the fairest of them all. At the same time, the bride's modesty and self-discipline would allow Eleni to have a saying on palace matters. Without losing a minute, she summoned her chamberlain, Stavrakios, and said, "First thing tomorrow, I want you to send delegations to every corner of the empire to bring me the prettiest girls to the palace, so that you can help me choose the right wife for my son. Bear in mind that her beauty must be beyond compare. But make sure she isn't over-ambitious, otherwise she might want to meddle in palace affairs, and that would put both you and me, my dear Stavrakios, in the shade." "As you wish, your majesty," Stavrakios said, frightened at the very thought that he might lose his privileges. In the twinkling of an eye, he ordered royal halyards to travel the length and breadth of the empire in search of the most beautiful, modest, and well-brought-up girl. Riches, a large dowry, or breeding were of no concern. She could be anyone, as long as she had the right qualities. The next day, the heralds set out by boat and on horseback to search every corner of the kingdom. At that very time, a girl called Ekaterini arrived in Constantinople. Though beautiful, clever, and well-educated, she was smarting from a sense of injustice. She hailed from the other end of the country, from Athens, a small provincial town with a glorious past, and was the daughter of a famous and rich philosopher who had taught her all manner of things from her earliest childhood. But when her father died, he left all his worldly wealth to his sons. The only thing Ekaterini got was a wish that her beauty should lead her to success. Educated as she was, she knew very well that according to the laws of the land, both men and women had the same rights to their parents' inheritance. So, she sought refuge in her aunt's house, and a little later, they both set out for Constantinople, where another of Ekaterina's aunts lived. The two older women offered words of advice to their niece. You must go to the palace and seek your rights. The laws of the empire leave no one hard done by. In fact, they even say that the empress is always keen to help the truth shine out. The young girl did not take much persuading, and a few days later, she headed to the palace together with her aunts. The instant the emperor laid eyes on Ekaterina, she was struck dumb by her beauty, her manners, and her modesty, and decided there and then that the new arrival should take part in the beauty contest. With a little help to regain her fortune, such an apparently modest girl would certainly be very easy to handle. So, she ordered the maids to make up the royal guest rooms to accommodate Ekaterina and her aunts up until the day of the contest. Day by day, more and more beautiful girls arrived in the capital until there were enough of them for a date to be set. Everything was ready for the contest to begin. The jury was made up of Empress Eleni, her chamberlain Stavrakios, and Andronikos, the crown prince. The contestants were called to the Pearl Room, the most glorious room in the palace, where they dazzled the jury with their beauty. The seven fairest were chosen, including Ekaterina, with the final decision due to be made the following day. Then Eleni handed Andronikos seven beautiful, fragrant apples from Phrygia and said, Give these to the girls. Whoever keeps their apple until tomorrow will be the chosen one, who will honor you like the gift you gave her. Only a woman like that is worthy of the throne. The prince obeyed and gave out the apples, but didn't pay much attention to his stepmother's words. His mind was on other things. Among the girls, he had recognized Dainylida, a beautiful and high-talented girl who wrote the finest poems of the time. He had only glimpsed her once, just for a moment after Sunday Mass, as she was coming down from the women's gallery, but he was sure that it was the same girl. He admired poetry and had fallen deeply in love with her through her poems. But how could he find out about her character? Deep in thought, he finally fell asleep. The seven chosen girls withdrew to the guest rooms, apples in hand. Eleni ordered that they be left without food and water until the following morning. Time didn't pass easily, so the girls that were tired and hungry began to eat their apples. All but two. One was Ekaterina, who had been forewarned by Eleni, and the other was Dainylida, our sensitive poetess, who hadn't been able to forget Andronikos since the day their eyes had met. Every time she got the chance, she would sneak glances at him from the women's gallery in the church. She guarded the apple as if it were the most precious thing in the world. No matter how hungry she was, she would never eat it. That night was a torment for everyone. The next day, Andronikos appeared in front of the contestants and looked at them long and hard. Though one really was fairer than the next, to him Dainylida was by far the most special of all. But he couldn't simply choose her like that. He had to ask for the apples, as his stepmother Eleni had advised him. She was an ambitious woman, but Andronikos knew very well that deep down she loved him and wished him the best. After his father had passed away, she had always been kind to him. And then the emperor to be said, "Beautiful girls of Byzantium, I want back the apples I gave you yesterday." 5 of the girls looked at each other, dumbfounded, as they realized that the apples had been part of a test to select them, and that all of them would be rejected. But to everyone's surprise, the 2 remaining girls took out their apples. Reactions were mixed. Eleni was alarmed to see her plans ruined by another girl keeping her apple, while Andronicus was overjoyed at the sight of the fruit in Dionylida's hands. Yet at the same time, it confused him. He had precious little time, and the only thing he could do was test the girls. And then he said, "Women are the source of all evil." Ekaterini, who was smart, educated, and had been raised in a very different environment, felt insulted by his words. She found them unfair, and without further ado said, "But women are the source of everything good, too." The future emperor remained speechless. He did not expect such audacity. The girl was too clever by far, and her ingenuity was more than he could handle. As for her courage, it was unseemly in any Byzantine woman, let alone an Augusta. Without a second thought, delighted that he had got what he wished for, he turned and gave the apple to Dionylida. Now neither Eleni nor anyone else could do anything. The matter was settled. The rest of the girls who had taken part in the contest and their families were richly rewarded and left for home. Ekaterini, who had proven especially bored, was richly rewarded too, and the question of her inheritance was put in order. The emperor demanded that part of her father's property be returned to her. He also made her a gift of more lands and dowry, and saw that she was engaged to his commander-in-chief. Eleni and Stavrakios were in very low spirits. Their plans had been foiled, and now they didn't know what to expect for themselves. But their minds were soon put to rest. Overjoyed that he could marry his beloved, Andronicus asked Eleni to stay on with them in the palace and informed her that he could keep Stavrakios on in her service. A few days later, the wedding of Emperor Andronicus and Dionylida was held with great ceremony in the church of Hagia Sophia. Dionylida was named Augusta, and her family received numerous titles. The banquet that followed lasted for days. All over the empire, the people marked the joyous event with celebrations, games, music, dances, and feasting. The imperial couple ruled the land for many years, with Eleni and the children they soon had by their side. And they all lived happily ever after.